Good morning to each one, and I too greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to see you. Good to see each one of you. There's something about a sermon that always, well, you just can't get away from the fact that it requires faith. And this morning, I would like to speak on the subject of faith, and I'll admit to you the pressures of life sort of kept coming at me as we got into the last half of the week, even though I had pretty much settled on this subject early on. And just felt like I come here this morning without the preparation that I like. But I'd like to just keep this message quite simple, because faith many times seems like it gets to be an abstract, sort of complicated subject, and it's not. It's really quite simple, and it is so central to each one of us. See, I believe that faith is our greatest battle. You may go, well, wait a minute, I thought, you know, this battle of the flesh and being who we want to be and living out our lives, yes, but the center of that is faith. The center of that battle is faith. If it's not, then, well, maybe we'll explore that as we go along. But if you want to turn to a theme verse in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to just look at a verse there to sort of springboard from. And we'll probably come back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is where I would like to take this verse, and it's verse 6. I'll allow you to find your way there. This verse says this: but without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The verse says it all. The verse states very clearly that faith really is the center of our battle, our choice, our belief. It doesn't say, for without obedience it's possible to please him. It's true. I'm not going to separate faith and obedience. But the verse says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so this morning, my battle and your battle is a faith-based battle. It takes place, and maybe it takes place in our hearts and our minds. And so I want to try to understand that a little more practically as we go through this morning. God here is telling us very distinctly the importance, the high place that faith holds in the life of the believer. That's what he's saying here in verse 6. Without faith, God tells us, we cannot please him. And so we must believe. And in doing so, we receive a reward as we diligently seek God. In my own words, that's what the verse says. What is faith? We ask the question. What is faith? Well, I'll just tell you, there's a story. The story is told of a pastor who was on a long plane flight from one place to another. And an announcement was made that everyone needed to buckle up. There's going to be turbulence. And indeed, it was quite turbulent. It became very rough. You might picture them coming down through a thunderstorm. I remember an experience like that of my own, although the story I'm telling is not my own story. But I remember coming in one time to BWI or Ronald Reagan Airport there at D.C. And it was the most, as far as like lightning and flashing and the thunder, and that was probably one time. The other one was at Great Falls, but we're heading off in the story time. I haven't traveled that much, but there was two experiences where lightning was very close, almost like it hit the plane, and it was very turbulent, very turbulent. In fact, one of the men that I was with asked the pilot as we were exiting the plane, he said, hey, what, on a scale of 1 to 10, where was that at in roughness? And he said, well, let's just say it was real close to a 10. And be that as it may. So that's the picture. Very violent. And as they're coming through this storm, the pastor notices that over here on this seat is a little girl, and she's sitting there with her books. She has her legs crossed on her seat. She's looking at her books, and from time to time, she would look around and at the folks who were around her there. But and everybody was, you know, quite alarmed and hanging on and so on. But with no concern, she would look about. After the flight, the pilot asked the girl about the storm, and didn't it bother you? And the behavior of the plane and the way that we were being. And he said, why weren't you afraid? And the child replied, because my daddy's the pilot and he's taking us home. So we're thinking about faith. And that was an answer of faith. That was real faith. That was living faith. But it's also a natural faith. So it's a faith in her dad. Natural faith. Her father was at the front. She knew he was in there. She saw him before the door closed. She had a natural faith in her dad. But it's a real faith. And so it's helping us to understand what faith is. We also have a lot of natural faith in our lives. The light turns green and we go. Now, the wise thing to do is to still be defensive and to be looking before you press the accelerator. But by and large, the light turns green and we go. We have faith in the system, how it works. We wait our turn. Now we can go. Do you ever think about it when you're on a two-lane road and everybody's traveling about 60 mile an hour and, you know, how close it is that your mirror's almost hit? I mean, there you are. Just saw a picture the other day of someone who crossed the line, and I don't know if the person come out of it alive or not, but the point is there's just feet between us and death. And yet we do it without really thinking about it. It's a natural faith we have that person is paying attention just like I'm paying attention, and that we will pass each other without a problem. Sometimes, obviously, we come up short in our faith. I'll admit to you, I'm sorry that announcement of tonight wasn't in the bulletin, nor who was going to preach this morning. It's because I fell short. That's a tendency for all of us, and for me especially, but I needed the information for Sunday night service, and because I didn't have that, it was one step that I was missing, and guess what? I forgot. And it got too late. And then I decided not to disadvantage or put pressure on the person by sending it in way past the deadline. So, faith. I told Brother Ernest I was going to use him this morning. This morning I realized that I dumped the last of the coffee beans into the grinder early this morning. And so I messaged Ernest to see if he could bring some coffee along. And I thought to myself, this is going to be a test of faith. Natural faith. And so we pulled in, and the first thing I asked, Ernest, did you bring? Oh. Okay, so we come up short. And knowing what it's like to get a family out the door in the morning, I know I'd actually tempered my faith that it was going to happen. Because we just get, there's only so many things we can handle. Turn with me to Acts 27. Acts 27. Here is an account. We've read it before. It's one we're familiar with, but let's just get taken into the story here. So Paul is heading to Rome. He's under bonds. He's in restraints. And he had warned his captors about the danger of them sailing, but they made their own decision, went their way. In verse 17, verse 14, there was a tempestuous wind that struck them, and they got caught in this sea in a storm. Now, it's hard to imagine how a storm could last so many days, except that they may have it was maybe a very slow-moving storm, held by different fronts, and they moved with the storm. And so they stayed in this storm for many days. And it was a very, very brutal thing. And they were concerned about running up on ground, on land. In other words, even if there was a place where they could have, like, they knew ground land was over here, they couldn't even make for it because, well, they didn't have big harbors developed as much as what we have today, where you could bring a ship in safely. And so they really needed to stay out there. At any rate, you see them here in this difficulty, and they were tossed in verse 18 with a tempest, and they began to just throw things out. Now, here's a group of men who are really losing faith in their situation. They don't have a lot of hope left, because what you're doing now is you're starting to throw away even the things that you would need just in the hopes that somehow they could spare their lives. Everything else was dispensable if they could save their lives. And so that's what they're about. That's what they're doing. And they lighted the ship, verse 18. They threw off the stuff, the reason they were on the ship, what they were hauling with them. They cast out the tackling of the ship in verse 19. In verse 17, it says that they undergirded the ship, which means they would cast a cable or a rope out over the bow of the ship, and they would walk it back. They would feed it back along either side. They'd bring it up, bring it across the top, and they probably used some mechanism to pull it very tight and to secure it onto the deck. And it was a way of holding the ship together. So they were doing everything they could to try to spare their lives. And they were using everything they had, cast away the tackling. I mean, they couldn't even safely harbor this ship anymore. It was going to be very difficult. The point was, it was worth it at the expense at being able to save their own lives. And then Paul steps up here in verse 22 and says, "Now I exhort you to be," well, verse 21. "And after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." So that it goes on, and there was maybe a couple more days yet of this that continued on, and they realized they were nearing land. And Paul then gathers them together again and says, "Look, we all have to stay here. You're not going to escape by the lifeboats." They cut them off. And he says, "This is the 14th day," in verse 33, "that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I prayed you to take some meat, for this is for your health." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he began to eat. And they were all of good cheer. I just read through this story. Okay, this morning we studied Jonathan and the faith that he must have had to go up the side of that cliff and take on the enemy. And it was a demonstration of faith like none other. But there's not many times that you and I face that same test of faith in a physical sense. But we can face, maybe we can identify with this boat experience a little bit more. And Paul here steps forward. And what I'm showing you here, this also was real faith. This was living faith. But maybe we could call it a Christian faith. This was a faith that lifted its eyes up above anyone on that boat. This wasn't about the skills of the captain, but this was about the one who held the storm in his hand, the Creator God. And so Paul's faith lifted his eyes. His eyes were lifted up to God and the messenger of God that came to him. And Paul said, "I believe." And he rallied those folks with him in the boat, and they too believed. Because they became to be of good cheer. They believed, and they began to eat and so on. And they broke their fast. So there's another example of faith. And this faith this morning, this faith that Paul had, is the faith that I'm talking about. This faith is key to all things eternal. This faith is key to all things eternal. You know, the faith that little girl had in her daddy, You know, it wouldn't be so many years until she became an adult and understood the limitations of her dad. And sure, she may have had faith in her father after that, but it was different. But the faith that we're talking about here tonight or this morning is a faith that is eternal. It is the faith that this is what we wrestle with, and we fight for this faith. We desire to have it in our lives. We reach out for it. We embrace it because we understand that it's necessary to carry us through not only this life, but into the eternal life. And so this morning, the burden's quite simple. Faith is the key. That's the title of the message. But faith is the key. Nothing can replace it. And I notice how we are sometimes, because we're in this flesh. We like to touch. We want to handle. We want to lay our hands on it. We want it to be real close to us. And yet the battle that we're in is one where many times we cannot get that close to faith. But rather it is something, it is a belief, it is a choice that we make. We reach out in faith. We take up the book. We read the verses. We read what it instructs us. And we say, we believe. We believe. And so nothing can replace faith. Jesus said it this way in Mark 16:16, he that believeth, and that's faith, and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, does not have faith, shall be damned. And so this faith battle that we're in is very real. We can't escape it. It's a personal discipline and choice of the mind and belief that we must develop. Nothing can replace faith. Our flesh continues to want to create our own world of righteousness. We've done good things, therefore we are a good person. But the key element about belief and faith in Jesus Christ is that we move from our version of truth and right to God's truth of right and wrong, and God's truth of good, better, and best. You see, we create our version of good, but God says, no, there's something better. There's the best, and that is to become more and more like God. And so this thing of faith, the reason that faith can be so difficult is because we lose control of our reality and seek to be directed by God into a much fuller obedience and life. That's why faith is so central. Faith is so key. We lose control of our reality and seek to be directed by God into a much fuller obedience and life. And this can only happen through faith. And that's what Hebrews 11 is teaching us. So go with me back to Hebrews 11. And we'll spend a little bit of time here considering this. Without faith. Now some of us may have read this chapter more than others. And so we know it is a recording of events in history of men and women of faith. And we're going to move along and make some comments as we go down through it. But without faith, none of the amazing accounts, none of these amazing events of history would have happened. That's just a fact. Without faith, we wouldn't have the recording of these amazing events. And so, this morning, without faith, today, nothing truly amazing will happen. Without faith today, nothing truly amazing will happen. So you'll notice here in verse 1, it's that verse that we quote, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That verse is just telling us that faith is the foundation. that's laid down in our minds. It's fixed in our minds, and that's what substance means there. It is the foundational, everything is built on top of it. It is the real that is the base of our lives. Faith is the real, the foundation, the base of our lives. The foundation is sure, and it's fixed in things that are not seen. What are those things that are not seen? Well, that which isn't seen is that there is a God. And you say, well, that's such a simple thing. Oh, no, it is a simple thing, and it's a huge thing. Verse 3 makes that point. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's right. We believe, our faith says that there indeed is and was a creator God. And that has been scoffed at now for decades. There's generations now that have been raised up very carefully instructed otherwise, that there was other mechanisms by which this world came into motion. I'm not even going to begin to try to make the arguments against those arguments in particular, except to say this. It's very interesting to see how that the sciences, and as the progression of what developed as science, which developed the theories of evolution, the Big Bang or something like it, and they tied in a lot of like scientific ideas and then also maybe some kind of proofs. As that has developed and as that has evolved, what's been interesting is that science has actually begun to just erode those theories time and time again. Now, what's happening is you have the Romans 1 situation where they've begun to believe a lie. There's no walking back from the lies for the most part. But there is a very interesting movement in the sciences today of learned men who are saying, it doesn't hold up, folks. It just doesn't hold up. There has to be a force. We've known it all along. And that's our God. And that is what Hebrews 1 is talking about. That is where our faith is on. There is an eternal, all-powerful, without beginning and end, being who has also created us. And so there it is. That's where our faith is at. That's what we believe. We know that to be true. We see it because when we reach out in faith to that belief, God reaches out in faith to us. And there is a connection and a flow of truth that happens, a reality that happens. And that's when this book moves from white and black letters on the page, just like every other book, to something more. And it's because of faith. And that's why it's so key. And so, that's what verse 2 is talking about now. As faith and that truth and that reality takes place in our hearts. It says here in verse 2, so it was by this faith that these elders that are in the chapter here, that's how they obtained a good report. And so it talks about Abel, first of all. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, what was that all about? I don't know that I understand all of that, and I don't have time to explore each one of these at all, so I'm just going to touch on them. But I believe what I understand is that Abel's sacrifice was one of faith in who God was, what God had commanded, what the plan of God was going to be. It was a blood sacrifice. And Cain came forward with a sacrifice that was maybe more about his own abilities, what he had produced. I don't understand that all. But Abel offered a more sacrifice, to a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it was a witness that he was righteous. And so, again, that sacrifice, I believe the key difference is, and the reason it's here in this passage for us, it was one of faith. And that's what was important. I don't know what all the details of that faith were, but it was one of faith. And that's still so important for you and I. We continue on. Enoch. I went back and looked in Genesis at the account of Enoch, because as I remembered it, it says very little about Enoch. And it's true. It's just a verse or two. Jude references Enoch, but it was just a verse or two about Enoch. But he was a man who was, he was in tune with God. He was a man of faith. He walked with God. And I don't know what all that means, but when Enoch's life was done here, I believe he was also the father of Methuselah. When Enoch's life was done here, God just called him home, just translated him. It's one of those unique stories of the Bible. But he was a man of faith. What it tells us here. He was a man who believed who God was, and that shaped who he was, who Enoch was. And we continue on into verse 6, sort of just right here in the middle of this account. The writer starts out here, God's telling us about some people from old, thousands of years ago, and he interrupts the storyline with this verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For we must believe. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith in God is what it takes for us to diligently seek God. We must believe that he is a real entity waiting to connect with me personally. He is a real entity, a spiritual force, a creative force who is waiting to connect with me, to sync up with my faith. Again, the account of Jonathan, I don't know what you ladies all talked about here in your Sunday school class, but wasn't it interesting how Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan said, you know what? I think this is what we're going to do. And we're going to, if the enemy says, come on up, then we'll know that God's going to give us the victory. But what did they have to do before God was able to move? They had to expose themselves to the Philistines. They had to take that step of faith. And then when the Philistines called them up, when did God give the earthquake? Well, it was after Jonathan and the armor bearer had already engaged the enemy. And that's the way it still is. See, God really wants to manifest his faith with ours. And that's what shapes us so much. And that's when God accomplishes all that he wants to accomplish. And that's so much bigger than me. And as I looked at these men of faith and these women of faith, because Rahab's in this account as well, I don't know. I think Brother Clyde asked the right question there in Sunday school class. You know, what are we doing to really sync up with this God of faith? He didn't ask it in those questions. But as I was thinking about this thing of faith, what are we doing? Are we men and women of faith? By faith, Noah. Brother Matt took us to this morning. Noah, warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. There it is. Faith is at the beginning of the verse and at the end of the verse. It is the key to that verse, by faith. Noah. And it says he was moved with fear. Oh, that doesn't sound nice. Which one of us wants to be fearful? Well, see, faith is knowledge. Faith is experience. And what Noah understood of God and of this coming judgment that God told him about, it did give him fear. And so, yes, that was part of this faith relationship. He was moved with fear. And God would still wants to do that with us today, because we also understand that it's not going to be a flood that's going to come, but it's going to be a final judgment that's going to come. And so we too are moved with fear. Abraham, this actually what sort of started me on this sermon was I read through this, I think it was last week, and I told this story to the children for family worship of Abraham. I said, well, there's Abram and Sarah, his wife. And God told them, you're going to move, go on to another country. And so basically, as I understand it, they ended up packing things up, whatever they took with them, and they headed out Juniata Valley Road, and they got out there to the T of Route 22, and then they turned. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you that Abram did not have printed out MapQuest directions on his knee. He didn't have Google Maps turned on. It says here that they went not knowing, in verse 8, whither he went. Faith is the key. And we are on a journey that we don't know the end of. I don't know the end of this sermon yet. We are on a journey like that in different areas of our lives. I don't know what yours is exactly, but the roadmap isn't all that clear. But it's okay, because that's what Abraham did. Abram went. He understood that there was a promise. And so by faith, he sojourned in his life, in his land of promise. There's things that are before us as we look ahead that just don't make sense or look bigger than us or do not definitely have clarity to them. It's okay. By faith, he sojourned, and so we are called to the same. But he looked for a city, it says here in verse 10, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham understood that whatever it is, this is just a little piece of my life anyway. And that's another thing that God wants us to understand. We understand it by faith, that this life is just the small piece of our lives. This life is the blip. This journey to wherever it is so short compared to the one that we will yet journey. Because our God's eternal, and so is our souls. So are we. We understand it. We believe it by faith. Well, then there's Sarah. I don't want to skip over her. Sarah's a dear lady, a beautiful lady. Tells us that in the Bible. She traveled with Abraham. She was willing to do it. She's a courageous woman. She was a woman of faith. We have that little account where she laughed. We can understand that, can't we? Because it really did sound ridiculous. Because there was no possibility, and Sarah knew it, in her body to conceive a child. Those functions just were no longer there. But in the end, she believed, and she moved through that experience, and she conceived a child. It's an amazing story of faith. She received strength to conceive. She was delivered when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. See, faith isn't just something abstract. Faith is trust. Faith is belief. Maybe I'll say that first of all. Faith is belief. Faith is experience. Faith is knowledge. Faith is trust. Those are all elements of faith. Because when we step out in faith, I do know that I believe there is a choice that we make to believe. But very closely coupled with that choice is experience. Very closely coupled with that choice is knowledge. We're not just wandering aimlessly, but there is knowledge that God gives us. There's understanding we get from his word, from this brotherhood. Faith is not a bumbling in the dark without a flashlight kind of feeling, but it is a very distinct choice, and it's the key to our lives. Well, we can continue on. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Sarah. There's Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Through faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and so on. Great acts of faith that these men and these women took. By faith, the harlot Rahab. Just an amazing story. How that lady understood something about these people and their God. And she said, your God is one that's alive and real. She believed, and it changed what she did. She took the risk that she did. She hid these men. She helped them escape. And then she went even further, and she said, but what about me when you all come back? And, you know, it's an amazing story of faith. See, God is willing to embrace faith wherever it can be found. Wherever there is a hand that reaches out in faith, God reaches down to that hand and makes that connection. Faith is the key. Well, it talks about those who suffered just incredible things. Stoned in verse 37, sawn apart, tempted. The world wasn't worthy of them. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. There it is. Faith is the key. Having obtained a good report through faith. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And so here we get tied in. Here we get tied in to today. And God had provided all of that, but he even provided some better things for us. Because I think God, in his original plan of faith and the Old Testament and all that that brought to people, God created that first step so that he could even make a better next step. And what God did, and I think you'll see it here in the first couple of verses of chapter 12, is he brought faith and the Creator God and all that God is a lot closer to man through Jesus Christ. He said, I need to bring it closer to people. Because I would like to accomplish two things. I'd like more people to reach out in faith. I want to broaden it out. I don't know what all God wanted to do, so it's almost presumptuous for me to say. But he wanted to broaden it out and to reach out to more people, to bring his presence closer to mankind. And number two, he wanted men and women to be even more faithful. Or he wanted to bring his faith life even closer to man. He wanted to bring, I don't know if I'm saying it right. I know I made some wrote some notes on that, but maybe I'll have to look for them here. Our God was willing to come so much closer to us than the Old Testament saints. He sent Jesus to show us who he is. In other words, Jesus is the revelation of God to us, to show us much more closely how to live. And also to, it says here in verse 2 of chapter 12, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This better thing, the better things of verse 40 that God's talking about, was this close mediator to us. It's a more intimate and present relationship with us than the Old Testament. So the faith that we have today, I believe we have the opportunity and possibility of becoming closer to God in our faith walk, and that there is a more intimate and present relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the better things. that we're talking about here, that was promised, and that's what we have this morning. But the key is faith. And so if we, for us to become more like Christ, for us to be, well, let's look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, having considered these old, the men and women of faith in the past, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all of that history, and the possibility that they look on to us today, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God is calling us, yes, higher than the Old Testament saints. But he's made the way. And there again, faith is the key. Christ in our lives, we cannot replace it. It's a very basic truth, but I'm just telling you, we begin to think that somehow we have to run. We got to just run harder. We got to run harder. There's some things that are still besetting us. We got to run harder. And God's saying, wait a minute. Faith is the key. Faith is the way it's going to happen. You believe that I am everything that I say that I am, that I am as holy as what I say that I am, that I am as eternal, that I am as powerful, that I am still the Creator God, and that I sent Jesus Christ to show that to you in full detail. You embrace all of that, and you will run this race. And you will be one of those heroes of faith. That's what God's desire is. Faith is the key. And so let's embrace faith. Let's allow it to change us. We can leave this place and think, all right, somehow I've got to be a better person because I want to be one of those people of faith. Wonderful ideal, but we're going to get there by cultivating our faith, by cultivating our belief, our choice, our knowledge, our trust, our relationship, and allowing God to work in us, allowing that faith to confront us as we leave our house, as we go out into the workplace to walk with us, to affect our minds and so on. So may God help us. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we've walked by faith, not by sight. So easy to get caught up with what's so close to us, our eyesight, but it's so limited. And God says, you need to open up in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So God help you. God help us this week to be, is it presumptuous? A hero of faith. God would like us to be that. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we fall down here before you this morning and we pray to you because you are the God of heaven and earth. You are the Creator God. You are all powerful. There is none like you. And so we do bow our knees, we bow our hearts, and we recognize again, O God, our weaknesses. We recognize our flesh. We recognize how short we come so many times. And yet, O God, we also believe that it is your desire to walk with us and that for us to walk with you. And so we pray that you would increase our faith this week. Help us to draw near to you in faith. Help us to believe that you are who you said you are. Help us to believe the promises of your word, that we're your sons and daughters by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So I pray you'd help us to claim by faith this salvation, and that we have, by our choice, by our belief, and by our faith, become sons and daughters of God. And then I pray that that truth would shape us into your image, into your likeness, and forgive us again where we've come short in that. Give us courage to go out this week. Men and women of faith is what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.